Weekend Breakfast on your number one news and talk station.
Right, so you've probably heard parents talking about my child has ADHD and all sorts of things, and it's becoming quite prevalent these days that you'll hear that parents talk about my son or my daughter has ADHD. How do you diagnose that? How do you find out whether that is true or not for your child? And what could it actually mean if indeed there is a misdiagnosis? I'm going to be speaking to parenting coach, Mia Von Schaar, and she's going to be talking about this phenomenon to us this morning, and she joins me now on the line. Mia, thank you very much for joining us on Weekend Breakfast.
It's a pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning to you. So ADHD. D, is that what it is?
ADHD.
ADHD.
Deficit hyperactivity disorder.
How do we know when our children have ADHD, Mia?
Well, you know, I have a slightly different approach to ADHD. And the first question that I always ask the parents who come to me is this. They say, my child has attention deficit. I say, okay, that's fine. Where does your child focus? Because the assumption with something like ADHD is that this child is just disruptive in class, they don't focus, they're impulsive, they can't concentrate on anything. So the first question I ask them is actually quite the opposite. And what I've found is that all children focus somewhere.
Yeah.
And we've got to find that area, because what we have to understand with ADHD, if you look at any of us, is we all have ADHD in certain subjects.
Yes.
And we all have attention surplus in things that interest us. So a lot of the time what's happening with ADHD is that these children are sitting, you know, all day long at school, 5 days a week, 7 hours a day, being taught things that don't interest them and that they cannot see how that's linked to things that do interest them.
Yeah.
So literally 90%
sounds like
of the time,
me.
Yeah, it's all of us, really. I mean, if you had to put me in a class on rugby, you know, 7 days a week, I would also develop some fidgeting.
Yeah.
Yes. So 90% of the time, we can actually sort out the problem by finding out what the children are genuinely interested in.
Yes.
And then helping them to link the classes that they have to do to the things that are really of importance to them.
So, you know, I mean, I heard someone said if a fish was to be judged by its ability to climb trees, we'd all believe that fish are stupid, eh?
That's so, exactly it.
So you're basically saying to me, find out whether your son or your daughter is a fish or a bear.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we have to do. We've got to find out what really makes them come alive. And, you know, we have quite a narrow scope of things that we teach in school.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we teach in a way that's great for kids who are visual learners or auditory learners. But then we have this whole group of kids who are kinesthetic learners who need to move to learn. They need to be practically involved in things to learn. And we just don't accommodate them in the class.
Yeah, but of course our education system is quite structured. It is quite rigid in the way that it operates. How then do we make our children fit into that structure if indeed they are not the fish that is supposed to be swimming in that? Yeah.
Well, there's two ways to approach that. And the one is to help the children individually to find how the class that they have to do link to what's important to them. So, for example, if the child's highest value is Lego, and that's what they love to do all day long, they just want to play Lego and do Lego, you know, then we can find ways to link their learning to Lego. So how is learning maths going to help you to build an even better Lego tower? You know, once they can find that connection, then it's easier for them to go and learn the thing. Then it's not us saying, why do we have to learn this?
Yep.
I say, well, because I said so, or because it's in the curriculum.
Yep.
You know, none of us want to learn things just because we have to, and
yes,
not because it has any reason.
There's got to be relevance, yeah?
Yes.
Yep.
And then the other way to approach it is actually to put the child in a different environment. So there are cottage schools and Montessori schools and environments that approach learning in a slightly different way that accommodate, kids who are, for instance, kinesthetic learners or who don't fit into that box, you know, into that system that is standard for everybody else.
Yeah. All right, now I've got a few calls, Mia. Let me quickly take this call from Sam. Sam, hi.
Hello, Audrey.
Yeah, hi, Sam. Go ahead.
I would like to know, where do I take my son, who's an adult, for ADHD formal testing?
Why would you want to take your adult son for ADHD testing, Sam?
He's mentally challenged.
I see.
And he was in a special class all along. And now he can't go to any school, so I want him to be tested.
I understand. Mia?
Usually what you would do is see an educational psychologist. So the educational psychologists have tests that they can do. I mean, the other thing is to see a psychiatrist. They would also do that. It sounds like it's probably not just ADHD, so that there's something else going on there as well. So you're probably best off seeing a medical professional and just getting their opinion on that.
Okay, Sam, thanks very much for that call. Can ADHD be misdiagnosed, Mia?
Absolutely. And this, I see probably 90% of cases, in my opinion, are misdiagnosed.
Yeah.
Because over the last 5 years, I have seen hundreds of parents who come to me saying the child has ADHD and they need to go on Ritalin. And I have yet to come across an actual case.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time, what we're seeing is dietary problems. You know, these kids are eating high sugar, high carbohydrate diets. And I mean, even just eliminating that can make a massive difference. Then there's also sometimes food allergies. So the kids are reacting to things in the food. Perhaps they have a dairy allergy or gluten allergy, and that creates problems. The other learning disabilities, things like dyslexia, that sometimes don't get picked up, and they think, you know, the child's fidgeting in class and they're not focusing, and actually it's because the child is frustrated because of another learning disability.
Yeah.
There are all sorts of other disorders. I mean, seizure disorders and problems with the brain and things, but, you know, you're more likely to pick those up. But even, you know, mineral deficiencies. Mm. A lot of the time I see kids who are deficient in omega-3s, they're deficient in magnesium, or something that we can really sort out with a simple supplement.
Yeah, yeah. If I hear the word or the acronym ADHD, I always hear in my head the word Ritalin. What happens when you hear that, Mia?
Well, I have a personal bias.
Yeah.
I would rather die than put my children on medication. You know, I really think we have to explore alternatives first.
Yeah.
You know, if you've explored alternatives and you're really not managing, absolutely. If you need to go there, go there. But, you know, there's so often I have seen children who are coming to school with a lunchbox that consists of a packet of crisps, a donut, and a Coca-Cola, and then the child is on Ritalin for ADHD, and that upsets me a lot. So I'm like, there's really basic things that we can do to help these kids rather than put them on a Schedule 7 drug.
Sure. Mia Vonshaw, thank you very much for joining us on Weekend Breakfast. Thank you very much.
Absolute
I really appreciate
pleasure. Thank you.
Your time. All right. Mia Vonshaw is a life and parenting coach. ADHD is the issue.